Yo, people. It is episode 183, I believe. This episode is three-person helmed with myself, the Flop, and then very frequently returning guest, Nerdcast Jay. We, on this episode, I promised Melissa that we would not talk about comic books, but we did talk a lot about comic books. We also talked a lot about movie and about Lil Wayne in St. Louis bailing on everything. That guy just needs to get off that tour, apparently. Like we said in here, there's got to be something going on that they can't let people go. Who knows? But other than that, yeah, just keep in mind, like I always tell you, go check out the page Stan Needs a New Kidney or Stan Needs a New Bean. You can search either way and it'll bring it up. Please like and share that page. I can't say it enough. I mean, I would prefer you to share that page more than you share our page or our podcasts, but then still kind of share our damn podcast too, people. Come on. And then also don't forget about our boys at Beer Soft Shop, 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Lots of beer, lots of booze, lots of bourbon, lots of barbecue accessories and grills and big green eggs and smokers and pellet thingies and all that good stuff. So they've got whatever you need. They got beers on tap. They got great people serving them. It's well worth your time to go check it out. And I also got an inside tip that they're about to have pretzel buns for dogs and just pretzels and cheese appetizers, which is good. That's what my daughters will eat. And I've tasted them, and they're pretty darn tasty. So that's a behind-the-scenes scoop for you. Outside of that, I think I've got nothing at all except listen to the episode. So I'm going to play the bomb here in about 2-1 now. Hey, we are back, and we are discussing color-changing beer right in front of us. And the we I'm speaking of is not Bender. It's not the Badger, because I don't even know at this point. Maybe he died from his pneumonia. I haven't heard.
No, he did send a text earlier.
Hey, we could be Kelly. She could be keeping his body in the basement and just running like his social network to make people think he's alive. Regardless, he isn't here. But who is here? Of course, that other voice was my wife, Missy, the Flop.
Hey.
And then ever-revolving guest, like the fifth seat, Nerdcast Jay. You've been on a lot lately.
I have.
Yeah, you're the comic book correspondent in the field, and now I guess you just set in on regular episodes now.
Yeah, I guess when the other guys cancel, I'll show up.
Yeah, which they
At
do.
This point, you're more...
you've been on more...
We can...
reliable.
You're more reliable than they are.
I think the word she's looking for is reliable.
Thank you.
You're going to have to forgive us, and this episode was never in danger of being canceled, but it was in danger of how much alcohol we were going to consume in this episode, and one of the reasons that Missy's brain may be operating a little slower than normal is, last night, I was telling you earlier, we got fancy drunk. we went to 311 Wine House, which I've talked about on the episode before. It's in Old St. Peter. It's just a really quaint, good little small bar that has just the right amount of craft beer and the right amount of wine, and it's well-priced, live music, and us and another couple had five bottles of wine. And we went into it with no dinner, and I was thinking we're going to get some appetizers, and we did, and their food's there pretty good of what we've had, but it did not hit Missy well.
Yeah,
I was tipsy. I knew I was tipsy, but again, wine, you know, after two glasses of wine, you know it's there.
Yeah.
But Missy, on the other hand, spray painted a beautiful shade of purple on our white toilet last night after I was up in my room, and my oldest daughter comes to the door and says, "Mom's puking." And so I go downstairs, and she had not yet started, but as soon as I stepped in, she goes, "I'm sorry."
It's better in the toilet, though, than the carpet.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, well, because that carpet would have been purple forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then she got done, and she goes, "I'm sorry." And then she gets to bed. "I'm sorry." I'm like, hey, of all of the... I think one of the good signs of being an adult is knowing how to contain your drunken puking, because you didn't make a mess. I mean, there was a mess on the toilet, but the toilet's built to withstand dirty shit to begin... Literally dirty shit to begin with. But you got through it pretty good, and there were no innocent victims that were in nearby, so it was just all the toilets, but it was still pretty funny.
So back when Aaron and I first got married, we did a trivia night with my brother, and he crashed on our couch. And we got up in the morning, and he was gone. And we ended up leaving. We were gone all day.
Oh, no.
Come home, Erin goes in the bathroom, and she's like, oh, my God. I walk in. My brother had gotten sick everywhere and just, like, used toilet paper to wipe it up.
What?
So there were spots over the walls.
And he was nowhere to be found?
No. No, he left before we got up somehow.
Did he even remember that he did that?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, so it was an intentional bailing on the problem.
I think so.
Oh, my God. He's lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst I ever did was I spent the night at Katie's house with her. Like, it was the first time I went out drinking after I had Kaylin. And I got wasted, and I slept on her couch, and she went to work before I did, and she left me a bowl by the couch. It was a futon, actually, and I threw up in the bowl, and I pushed it under the futon and forgot about it when I left the next morning, so her poor husband had to find that. But it was just a bowl.
Yeah.
And he's a dude. You guys can handle
that. And to be honest, do you really feel bad for Bushman having to clean it up? No,
that
she hesitated.
Like,
that was a pregnant pause. That's a no.
No.
Whoa, man, my beer is really blue now.
Yeah.
And we're gonna put a pin in that blue beer thing. But yeah, I once had a good friend of mine, Big D. He's gonna appreciate. He's been listening to the episode pretty regularly of late.
No more talking bad about.
Yeah, he's gonna appreciate this story about him. He once had to. It was 95% my fault for shoving the amount of alcohol that we did during the night, and how I kept buying shots and how we all kinds of silly stuff. But on the way back from Westport, Kansas City to where I lived, he decided he had to puke, so he went to stick his head out the window and throw up, but the window was not down, and so he just mushed his face against it just like this. And I did a preliminary cleanup. Actually, he was sitting Indian style in my front yard as I did some touch-up. But yeah. I made him go clean my car up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, no. I believe I would have called my brother up and say, you are officially disowned from the family until you come over and clean my bathroom.
Well, I'm glad I didn't do that because he's the one with the Mizzou season ticket set. We get down there for free games.
And how long ago was this, though?
Oh, 14 years
ago. Oh, yeah,
ago.
Time has a way of healing all wounds.
Yeah.
I would have made him clean that bathroom.
Yeah.
It's really hard to take a picture. Okay, there we go.
He also lived in North County at the time, so once Narrow Gauge came around, he kind of made up for it by bringing me beer.
Oh, man. He better bring you a lot of beer.
Yeah.
I do want to get back. We're about to taste this. One of the reasons Jay's over, because the fourth beer from Gigantic Brewing Company in the Hellboy series came out today, and it is the Abe Sapien Indigo Blue Beer, and it is, let me see, let me read what it says. I can barely read because the light's not on here.
It's your old eyes.
Yeah, I'm getting old too, apparently, because I can't see it whatsoever.
Yeah, what happened to your 2020 vision?
Well, I got 2020 vision. I don't have night vision, for Pete's sakes. Okay. Here we go. We give you a unique species that bursts with citrus and and berry hop flavors infused with natural indigo. The result is a lush, vivid blue beer. That is a bit misleading, because when we poured it, it was yellow as yellow gets. But now that it's sitting here, how long would you say it's been sitting out?
Five-ish, six minutes.
Well, you know what? I would say 9 minutes, considering we've been going for 7 minutes now. So
yeah,
and it was blue. Now it's green, but it has changed colors right before our eyes. But we've done all the tastings on these Hellboy beers, so we decided we got to do another one. And what better reason to drink beer than to record the podcast? And so that's what brings us to us right now. So let's give it a go.
It is green now.
See what we think.
It sat out long enough that it's not cold anymore.
Oh, it's still cold.
Yeah.
It's, what is it?
It's an IPA.
It doesn't,
yeah, but
it's,
I mean,
not hoppy.
Is it? I mean, it's very low. It's a very dull IPA.
It smells like an IPA.
I think on the write-up for it, it said something. It's like an East Coast meets West Coast. So I.
Oh, so it's a Midwest IPA.
It's a Midwest. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not as hoppy and a little more hazy, I think, is what it's supposed to be.
Huh.
Well, it's not hazy.
Yeah, it's,
no. Unless you call the color hazy. I mean, the color makes it hazy.
Missy, I'll let you go ahead and roll out with the rating out of our universal untapped system of rating things.
Well, it's not gross.
Okay. Well, that's you know what? Not gross. I'm going to brew a beer, and that's going to be my flagship slogan right there. Bohannon's beer.
Just,
not gross.
There's not a lot of taste to it, really.
Yeah, that's what it's not very complex whatsoever, so.
No, you can get a lot of IPAs like this out there.
Yeah. It's very safe. It's like a macro attempt at an IPA.
And I think getting the color-changing gimmick is probably what's going to sell it.
Yeah, and we apologize, Gigantic, because we've supremely enjoyed two of the three, previous three, and one of them I liked. This is probably my least favorite. No, this is my... What's her name? Liz Sherman was my least favorite because I don't like peppery, chocolatey beers. I don't like Molets and all that. But it's, what's your rating, Melissa?
Probably like a 3.25.
A 3.25? That's still pretty solid. That's above average. So what do you think?
I was thinking about a 3.
I'm going to go with a solid 3 also. It's not awful. It's middle of the road. It's not bad. I don't want people to think it's bad. It's just I was wanting something with a little more punch.
I told you, it's not gross.
Gross. That's the name of this episode. This episode is not gross. It's okay. That's okay. I would drink it. I'm going to drink it again. We're going to roll through these, you know, when I would get
Can we go descending order next time?
Go in order of what, worst to best?
No.
Oh, start at the last 6, and get all the way back to Hellboy? Yeah, that's good because we like the Hellboy one the best. Mm-hmm.
Unless the last two are really good. I can't imagine their original one being...
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But hey, one thing I did wanted to bring to the table today, speaking of good and not great... and a sequel, just much like this beer is. We took a family trip to watch It 2 yesterday, or It Chapter 2. We enjoyed it. It's very long. It's 2 hours and 50 minutes. It's like a Tarantino movie.
I feel like it was long because, one, they did new throwback scenes.
Yeah.
But they also included some scenes that we had already seen in the first one.
Yeah, some flashbacks to a movie that came out last year. I did like the fact that there was enough new scenes that the kids, because that first movie was so good, mm-hmm. and those kids were one of a big reason, because they all acted perfect. I mean, it's kind of a cheap comparison to say Stranger Things, because one of them is from Stranger Things, but they're really good, and it was an enjoyable movie. Hayden liked it. I liked it. Kaylin did not like it.
I thought it was okay.
It was okay. It wasn't as scary. There wasn't as much Pennywise in it as the first one. But I also thought like Bill Hader was great in it.
That's what I had heard, that he was probably one of the best parts of the
movie. He's great. But he's great in everything.
Yeah.
He's great as Barry. He's great as on SNL. He's Bill Hader. He may be angling his way in to be like the next a Tom Hanks, you know, comedic actor that can be serious. I can see him doing that.
So is he one of the most underrated cast to come on a Saturday Night Live?
I would say he is because of the women that came out of his run on SNL, have those powerhouses that have came out of there. But, yeah, I mean, has anyone that came out of his cast had a better career? I mean, he's had a solid career.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, obviously, Kristen Wiig's and Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yeah.
But Tina Fey and Poehler were before him, right? They had slight overlap.
I think they overlapped a little bit, yeah.
Kristen Wiig was his show. She's had a spectacular career. Okay. But as the guys, I think he's it. I think he's the top of the food chain for that. Which he should be.
Yeah.
He was delightful in that Amy Schumer
train wreck.
Yeah, he was great in that. His role in Barry is awesome. He was great in it too. And you know, I just last night or this morning I woke up and I could not find the remote, so I had to go to the Netflix to watch something.
Yeah.
And I just put on Superbad because I woke up so early because the dogs woke me up to let me out. So I was like, I can fall asleep watching this.
Yeah.
He's great in Superbad.
Yeah.
He was one of the cops with
him and Seth Rogen. And yeah. I had even forgot. I was like, oh, yeah, that is Bill Hader.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, his Stefan, have you heard the stories about these?
No.
A lot of what they did, like with Saturday Night Live, they'd have the script prepared. But then the guy that did the Spider-Ham's voice, Jim... Mulaney?
Oh, Mulaney? Or Mulaney. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. He was a writer on the show at the time, and he would take those Stefan skits and change them on them. So he had no clue what he was about to read for a lot of the punchlines, and that's why he would start cracking up every time.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. I've been listening. There's been a lot, for whatever reason. It's pretty cyclical, but and there's just a lot of them out there. But in the last month of podcast listening, there's been a significant amount of former SNL writers that have been on a lot of shows, especially Harmontown, and put a pin in Harmontown. We're going to come back to that in the Throw Missy segment.
Okay.
There's a lot of writers, probably four or five that I've heard from that have either been on the show or written on the show, and that just absolutely say what a nightmare experience it is working on SNL.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, it's very rare that even on casts that get along that the writers and the cast all like each other, and you have favorites, and everyone's out to get each other.
Yeah.
And Lorne knows it, according to them, and he kind of fosters that. Environment, like he wants that environment because he thinks it makes a better show when they're
It's like a free-for-all trying to get your skit.
Well, they backstab each other and they get political, and they'll get people, writers will get other writers
fired.
They
should have that, that should be a reality show. We should follow them.
I'm surprised they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
I just think he protects that what it is. I mean, that's an institution. It's not a TV show anymore. It's the longest running, it's scripted show on TV.
So I read the history of Saturday Night Live with, it was all cast interviews.
Oh, wow.
And so it was really interesting, like, looking at how they had to find a way to really stand out compared to everybody else. They would find a writing partner that they would start with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what he did. Jim Brewer talked about it, too. He was a writer on there.
Yeah.
And talked about even Goat Boy and stuff. And he even says, you know, he loves his times at SNL, but even he said that last year was, he goes, it was maybe the most miserable time of his life.
Yeah.
And he wrote a lot of his own stuff.
Yeah.
And it was miserable, you know. I mean, it's crazy, you know. I love, they're, one of my favorite stories, though, of any interview I've heard, it was Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
Talking about the time Snoop Dogg was on there.
Yeah.
And he's got a great story, and they're kind of pitching him BS because he wanted to be in there for sketch pitches, and they were pitching him some of that stuff, and he goes, yeah, maybe we can do a sketch on this and stuff like that, and then we'll get done, we can smoke a doobie and maybe call a hoe or two. And he goes, and Snoop's realistic answer was, why call one or two when we can call three or four? and they looked at him to see if he was going to break character. And he was serious as a heart attack. Like, yeah, we'll just get three or four hoes up in here.
Okay, so along those lines, did you hear what happened yesterday with the Blink-182 Lil Wayne show?
Yeah.
Here in St. Louis. Yes. Yeah, so I first saw it because one of my new favorite follows, and I'm actually not just following, I'm friends with him, and I feel like that we're buddies in real life. Rennie Knott from KSDK. Yeah.
He follows you?
Yeah, back and forth. He's a fun person.
Yeah.
And he tweeted, he goes, so I guess Lil Wayne is not a, or I guess St. Louis will no longer be a fan of Lil Wayne. But I haven't seen everything. All I heard is he was kicked out of the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes.
And then he canceled his show.
So, yeah, he was staying at the Ritz-Carlton, and there were numerous complaints about the smell coming from his room.
Oh, it was a little dank?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the
rich white people are not used to that.
Yeah.
the hotel staff called up to his room and asked if he'd at least open his balcony door.
Well, it's just not legal.
Yeah.
But I get why they'll probably allow a celebrity to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't do it to excess.
Right.
Right.
So
he But look took at it. Him.
Yeah.
Not because he's black, but because his face is tattooed. I mean, do you think when, would you buy the used tour bus for him or Post Malone? I mean, look at those guys.
I don't think Post Malone actually smokes weed anymore.
Really? I think he probably is so inundated with weed in his life that it just naturally permeates from his body.
So Lil Wayne took exception and went down and made a scene where they had to call the police in.
Oh.
And he had to leave suddenly.
Oh.
So
did he leave before the cops got there? Did they say?
I don't know for sure. I've read a couple articles. They didn't really say.
He left town.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, this is not the first stop on this tour that he's canceled on.
I thought after the first time he canceled that he was done for good.
He actually said he was leaving this show, yeah. He's a nut job, right? He's lost his mind, Lil Wayne. He's been shot a little too many times.
He's the reason I didn't go see that show.
Yeah, well, it turns out you could have. Mm-hmm. Did they replace him? Did they get an opening?
I don't think so. I mean, they had another pop punk band.
That was already on the bill?
Yeah.
They just got extended time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Neck Deep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Blink probably played a little extra, too, to make up for it.
Yeah.
And, speaking of dank.
I don't think Lil Wayne's been shot.
I think he was when he was a kid. I think, in fact, he survived, like, shooting himself in his apartment. Check that story, but I believe there's a story that he survived that when he was a kid, shooting himself.
Oh, when he shot himself, it was really a suicide attempt. That's just what the thing says. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But doesn't he have medical issues?
I mean,
like, he has seizures or some shit?
Is that... So he needs to smoke his weight in marijuana in order to get over it. Hey, speaking of dank, you brought over a Sweetwater Dank Tank series called Et Tu Brute, which, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that a Shakespearean play or what? No, that's not
Shakespeare. Caesar was killed.
Caesar, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it's the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. Who wrote that play, though?
Don't look at me.
It's Shakespeare, right? The death of Julius Caesar, wasn't that one?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Julius Caesar.
Yeah, Julius Caesar. Yeah. So it's a Brut Double IPA, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. That is an IPA.
Yeah, it is.
And and not like that. That's the other one. That's like that. That screams, hey, I got a lot of hop in.
So,
it does. And it's dry like a Brut's supposed to be.
This Hellboy has left a weird taste in my mouth, mm-hmm. even though I started drinking something else.
Well, good thing you're going to put that fruity taste in your mouth of the White Claw.
Ain't no laws when you drink the White Claws.
Wow. Wow. That just happened on our podcast. At what point, I guess... It's not really up to them, and I got a feeling that because of how things have gone on this tour for them, that there's probably not a lot of back and forth between Blink and Lil Wayne.
Probably not. It seemed like a weird matchup to begin with.
It makes sense. He fancies himself a guitar player.
Yeah.
And if you've ever watched the videos, he's awful.
Yeah.
But he jams out at the end of his shows. But, what point do you cut your losses and say, hey, we'll just go with this tour alone? I mean, you don't have to threaten it anymore.
Well, maybe they do. Maybe they're just like, you know what? Like,
imagine
if he shows up, he shows up. If not, oh well.
I'm going to imagine there's a significant clause in contracts or whatever. There's some kind of payout that has to be done one way or the other.
He probably has to do a certain amount of shows for sure.
Yeah.
Since he doesn't want to be sued by the promoters, I don't know. I'm this may shock you guys, but I'm not an expert on the rock and roll lifestyle or the music industry.
Really?
I listen to it. I'm aware of it, but I don't know the ins and outs.
You don't give off that vibe.
I know. I come across as like, what was the old, the Colonel? I'm the Colonel. I control Elvis's career. So.
I would really like to say something snotty about how you act like you know everything, though.
I think you just did. I wanted
to be a little more clever.
I think by saying that you wanted to say the joke, you pretty much said it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's what happened there.
With a little bit of letdown for us.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, if you did anything in that, you still insulted me, but you managed to disappoint our fans.
Sorry.
Our fan.
Queen's here.
You and Phil. That's the list.
I want to go back to it real quick.
Oh, yeah, we didn't give it a review either, so let's give it a review as well.
One, the guy that played Ben, the chubby kid.
Yeah, who was that?
I don't know. I had to look him up because he, you know, in their original TV version, John Boy played the main character, right? Was he the main character?
Yes, he was.
I never saw it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What was that guy's name? But you know who John Boy is, right?
From Little House on the Prairie and all that.
Yeah. That's who that guy looked
Waltons.
Like.
The Waltons, not Little House. Waltons.
Whatever. But the guy that played Ben looked like him. And I had to look him up. They're not related. Hmm. And two,
you usually win that game. That's the first time it didn't happen.
I usually do win this game. Two, I thought the movie was filmed pretty dark. So it was really hard see the black guy's face a lot, which I was kind of disappointed in because it took me a long
time.
No.
It's where we're going.
How long did it take me to figure out who he was, though? Once they put him in the actual daylight, I was like, oh, that's the Old Spice guy.
It was the Old Spice guy.
Or Jeremy said, I don't think so. It is. I just looked it up. It's the Old Spice guy.
Yeah. And it's good to see he's not typecasted as a fragrance actor alone. That he actually gets...
Or an equestrian.
His name is Isaiah Mustafa.
Huh. Never mind. I had a Mufasa joke, but it was going to go nowhere also. See, just nothing but letdowns today. Hey, speaking of weird commercials, have you... Well, I got two notes on two commercials. Have you seen the motor tour or the motors half man, half motorcycle commercials? It's a oil commercial or something, and he's half man, half motorcycle. There's like a two or three of them, and they're creepy and oddly funny. Like, he goes, do you not like me? He goes, do you ever get tired of being a motor tour? Or I think that's what they call it. And he goes, do you ever get tired of being alive? And he, it's like, it's just weird stuff. We also came to a revelation because we had to look it up. There's been some debate in our house, not an argument, but we've constantly tried to figure out what Cheryl says at the end of her She Shed commercial. And where her husband says,
I'm getting a new She Shed.
She Shed. And her husband goes, well, that's great news. So hey, we had to look it up to see what she actually says.
Yeah.
What she does say, a sheer share She Shed. It's a French word for fancier.
Oh.
And the couple we were out with, Michelle, she knew what that, she goes, yeah, she says.
You know what that means. Yeah, she's sheer.
Fancy. Michelle is fancy. But yeah, we had no clue. I told them, I made the joke. I said, I just thought Cheryl for a brief moment had a stroke because she just says she shed over and over or something. But no, it's she shed, something like that. Yeah.
That's well, she says she sheer, she shed. So it sounds like four words total, but it's just three.
Yeah, yeah.
Sheer.
She shares like a.
Or however you say
it's two. It's two words squished together, and it means fancier.
I see that coming up on a future trivia problem.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got it. I mean, that's how you get good at trivia.
Oh yeah.
You look that. I mean, I had to go find the script on Reddit in order to figure out what they said. I'll use all the tools available. So, I did have. I was about to go into one more thing off of it, but then I got really fixated on the she share. Oh, did you see the tweet of James Gunn did for the cast of
Suicide Squad?
He's playing into my heart with Peter Capaldi, Nathan Fillion, Michael Rooker bringing him over, John Cena.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out who all these people are.
We know speculation's going to run wild because those guys could be anybody.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Who I'm guessing he's going to have a voice.
Yeah, CG.
Yeah, makes it because he was so brilliant from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Even,
not Korg. Just directly, but Korg, yeah. And then Idris Elba is going to be, he's replacing Will Smith.
See, I've heard he's going to be Bronze Tiger.
Oh, that would be even better.
Yes.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah, because I was explaining to my kids, we've shown them Suicide Squad, so they get the general idea, but they were asking, where's Deadshot? And I said, well, he might not be needed for this mission. That they rotate the characters, so you would have anybody show up, really.
Also, we saw the, I've seen it in French or whatever, but we got to see the American teaser, the It-style teaser for Birds of Prey.
Okay.
Which, if you've not seen it, it's,
I haven't yet.
It looks like it shows Warner Brothers and then a bunch of red balloons come up. So you're like, oh, and our daughters were tricked. They're like, oh, it's starting. Yeah. And it's not. Harley Quinn comes up and pops all the balloons and goes, enough with the balloons already.
Oh, that's awesome. She says, enough with the fucking balloons.
Oh, yeah, the fucking balloons. Yeah, it is a red band trailer. And then it goes in and it shows a bunch of stuff. And she goes, enough with the fucking clowns is what she says.
Yeah.
So which is, you know, a double entendre for her there.
So they haven't released that online. They were going to only do it with the movie.
Yeah, well, they released, you can find the British or the French one that leaked out.
Okay.
And our Chinese or whoever it is. Those are vastly different countries. But
They are?
I mean, they don't even sound similar in language. But, I didn't know the real name of the movie because it says Birds of Prey, and then it was all in a foreign language, but it's Birds of Prey, The Emancipation of Harley Quinn is the name of the movie.
Okay.
And it's Birds of Prey stacked, and in that little space, the of is where it's written, Emancipation of Harley Quinn. That's cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
James McAvoy is, you know, a bad guy in it, or...
God, I think I
love...
No,
it's Ewan McGregor.
Oh, that is it's Ewan McGregor. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I love James
Obi-Wan, not Professor X.
Right.
Yeah. It looks good. It looks good in the quick tease you can see of it. I mean, and I'm at least, my interest has peaked.
Yeah.
And I guess the main reason my interest has peaked is because we know that James Gunn is going to take over. And me and Bender had a conversation about this at Third Wheel Friday. Well, we just, oddly enough, we just both happened to go to Third Wheel at the same time and did not plan it.
I was going
to
say, where's my invitation?
Well, I was there to meet Andrew from the Beer Sauce Shop, and Bender just walked in, and I go, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, of all
He's
the gin joints in
you?
All the world, he had to walk into my... Yeah, he is stalking me. But so we were talking about it with J.J. Abrams coming over to Warner Brothers with that 1 million picture deal,
yeah,
and he's not going to take over the DC Universe, they said, but
I got a feeling.
I've seen that he is.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that he's going to start running the ship. You know?
Yeah, there was speculation a month or two ago that he was going to do Green Lantern and Superman.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
He had a Superman script from, I think, the 90s, and apparently it was pretty bad.
You know what? Yeah, I bet. His wasn't the Wild Wild West one, was
no.
it? Okay, that was the
That was what they wanted Kevin Smith to do.
Yeah, and he was, that was insane.
Yeah.
And they ended up making the movie Wild Wild West with the same script.
Yeah.
It's weird, and it sucks for Kevin Feige that these people are leaving the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's got nothing to do with apparently Kevin Feige, but everything to do with how hard it is to work for the mouse.
Yeah.
James Gunn is a massive loss, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I think in J.J. Abrams' case, it's just his story's done. He was there to do the new Skywalker trilogy, and he's done.
Yeah.
But the Gunn, I mean, and they set themselves up for that by firing him and then bringing him back. Yeah. And
Well, I think he was probably going to be done after Guardians anyway.
Yeah.
Because they seem to have a hard time keeping these on outside of the franchise they're working on.
Yeah.
Like Gunn with Guardians and then the Russo brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, regardless, I think it's, I mean, if there's a fingers crossed for anything, because, I mean, let's face it, comic books companies can be great separately, so the cinematic universes should be great separately.
Oh, yeah.
So, one way of doing that is getting talents like Abrams and Gunn over there to do it, especially Gunn.
Yeah.
I mean, he may have done more, I think it's Joss Whedon and then Gunn, then the Russo brothers, in my opinion, and people are going to argue, well, the Russos did the best Captain movie and the last two Avenger movies, but there was a lot of stuff there already for them.
Yeah, and there was no risk with those movies really compared to Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians was a massive risk, and arguably the best. I mean, we'll see how the trilogy goes. Could be arguably the best trilogy out of the whole Marvel universe. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So
yeah. So along those lines, AT&T's talking about what they're going to do with DC going forward. Because they're the parent company that owns DC.
Who is? AT&T?
Yeah.
They bought out Warner?
Yeah.
I thought it was,
So they're struggling because the comics don't make money and they don't know what they're going to do with them.
Well, I mean, if we go back to what Rob Liefeld, DC's about to go under. There's a false amount. We've talked about this on the comic podcast, too. There's a false sense of how much money Marvel's actually making. If you break down per issue as opposed to, and break down per cover, I mean, they're bullies is what they are. Them and Diamond are bullies, and it's not really a sign of success for what they're doing. And they live or die based on whatever the movies are doing, on how the comics do. So the big two have problems.
Yeah.
Independent comic is thriving. And I had Jim and Ben from Butcher Queen and Rough and Tumble in here, and Ben Sawyer, he talked a little bit about how the independent comics have actually grown over the last few years. And that's just not the case in the top 10 of the big ones. And they still have good comics, but like, if you sell 150,000 copies of a comic right now, you're doing great.
Yeah.
In 1992, you know, X-Men sold 6 million copies.
Yeah.
And I know that's the anomaly, that's the outlier. But even pre-Authority Code, there were million copy book comics being sold. So it's a little silly. I mean, it's, you know.
So do those current numbers include, like, digital?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
That's what I'm curious about is what digital has done to them.
They also throw in, you got to remember, too, they sometimes, they do give away a lot of free digital copies, too, when you buy the cop. So I don't know. I guarantee if you sell your comic and you get a free download and say download it, they count that as two. you know, I bet they do.
Yeah.
So
AT&T is, from what I've heard, they're looking at three different routes. Selling off DC Comics.
Oh, boy. That would be big.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about, you know, Walt Disney buying them anyway.
Oh, yeah. That, I don't know if I could handle that.
I don't think so.
Yeah. The second thing I heard was they run as is, but with reduced money. And so they've already cut so many titles and
cut titles, cut staffing.
Yeah, you'll probably see the end of exclusive contracts.
Which makes sense.
The third thing is just ending the comics and just trying to monetize characters and movies and.
But then that goes south. That goes south fast, unless you have a good revenue stream of like cartoons and toys. But I think that goes south in a hurry.
Yeah, I do too. The thing this article brought up, though, was they have the three of the most recognizable logos in comics that they can sell on merchandise.
That'd be Superman, Batman, and...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Do you think it is? I mean, because I've owned a comic book store, and this is not me poo-pooing on women, but...
But you're about to.
No, but the Wonder Woman W is nowhere near as prevalent as the... I think Captain America's shield is more.
I think so now, especially now with the movies.
Yeah, and I love Wonder Woman. I was a DC guy growing up, and they've always been the big three. But I can tell you, I bet if you track sales too, it's not the case.
Probably not.
Green Lantern's probably the number three.
Or even Flash at this
point. And Flash. And you can look at some point, both Flash and Green Lantern have alternated best-selling book for DC throughout the years. So I get what they're saying, and I would like that to be the case, but... I just don't know if I buy into that.
Yeah. So apparently they've already been cutting the budget for DC because, like, at San Diego, DC had very little presence out on the floor.
Huh. Mm. Well, Marvel also, if you remember, didn't do anything Star Wars related at Comic-Con either.
Yeah, there was speculation more was coming at D23, which they did a little bit, but I think they're kind of distancing themselves a little bit until they right the ship.
Yeah. Huh. Well, it's very interesting, no matter what, but hey...
So says you.
I would like them to keep doing what they're doing, and I'd like them to somehow incorporate the DC app or the new app or whatever they're going to do with AT&T TV, because we just recently switched over to AT&T TV,
sure,
and we would like that to be a part of it.
Well, from what I've heard, the DC app is going away, and everything's going to move over to...
The CW app or Warner Brothers, WB app. Yeah, and I knew that too, but if AT&T owns it all, I want it to be a part of that for free.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's not hard so much to ask, is it? Just give me free shit. That's the way you make money.
It would probably be included in a higher package than we already have, you know?
See, what they need to do is make a Marvel Unlimited type app where people can just go out, subscribe, and read the comics.
Yeah.
Because I don't read much DC because I can't get them digitally unless I use the library.
Yeah, the Hoopla is what I use, and it's all like last year's.
Yeah, and mostly what I do on that is Image stuff.
Yeah, I do that as well. We are of like mind. By the way, I like this beer. This dank tank. You want to try it?
Sure.
It's dank tank.
It's dank.
It is a double IPA, so it's right in your wheelhouse.
Is it okay that I'm drinking from the sexy bald guy?
There's a joke to be made about you've dipped your well into the toe into that well anyway. So, which that doesn't sound good either. It would be vice versa. The sexy bald guy just dipped his toe in.
You want another one, Jay?
Yeah, I'll take another one.
What did you bring to the table today? You said you had texted me. And by the way, do you have a Matrix watch? Is that a Matrix background on it?
Yeah, it is. We just watched it with the kids.
Oh, I just saw the green things going down from a distance there. I was like, oh, that's the Matrix.
It was Star Wars for a long time. I decided to change it up.
Yeah. You went with a different trilogy. Mm-hmm. Disappointing. I hear they're making that. Oh, I guess we should talk about that real quick. That's a good segue. They're making a new Matrix. And Keanu and all of them are coming back.
I really just wish you would say his name right.
I did. Keanu.
No.
He changed it to shorten it. For one syllable, or, you know, Keanu, or three, the same amount of syllables, Keanu, Keanu.
Yeah, can you just give the man respect?
I think that his name is Keanu, and I don't know about that. He's a good guy, but man, he's getting up there in the years. There's also something to be said about Hollywood, you know, if it's not choreographed, you know.
Tom Cruise would disagree.
Tom Cruise. But yeah, so they're coming back. I don't know that I'm excited. It'll be the first. So if there is a joke to be made, it'll be the first Matrix made in the Wachowski sister era.
Yes.
Instead of the Wachowski brothers era.
Well, only one of them's back for that.
Yeah.
So far.
Oh, okay.
Is it a remake? Is it a new movie? Fourth movie.
So they were talking about rebooting it. Michael B. Jordan's name came up as the Neo character.
I'd be good. I like him and everything.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they decided to go another sequel.
That's better.
Yeah.
Maybe a good sequel. One where the last two movies didn't really happen. Especially that third one.
The kids are asking, can we see the rest of them? I'm like, you don't really want to see the rest of them. Plus, a lot of the stuff in it went over their heads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the stuff, I think, went over the writers' heads when they wrote the second, third one. Yeah. I would argue that if they never made a second and third film, then The Matrix 1 would go down in the top two or three of greatest sci-fi movies of all time.
Why can't it still?
Because
there's the sequels.
They diluted the pool with the other two.
So... I agree with that, but the Agent Smith fight in number two was incredible.
It is good. It is good. And, you know, Viggo Mort, or not Viggo, what's his name? Who was Agent Smith? He was great in general.
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, yeah. It's very much like Viggo Mortens.
Yeah. totally. So, are they going to let Keanu keep his hair? He's had that hair for a long time.
Well, yeah, as long as they're making John Wick movies, Keanu's going to have that hair.
Well, he grew back by the second movie.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
He's got it in Bill and Ted, the new one. So
I'm interested, because you had Bill and Ted on yesterday.
It's such a great movie.
I'm interested to see how this movie is going to play out.
Yeah.
That's in the queue to show the kids.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Even the second Bill and Ted movie is great. Both of those movies are great. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd forgotten how overtly cheesy the dialogue is, which is part of its charm.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, and how it's when you go back and watch it, it's amazing that we have John Wick, Keanu now, when we had that. And to be honest, watch Speed. Oh, it's amazing to get this Keanu out of that Keanu also. I mean, he's so...
Yeah, most other movies he's not a great actor in.
He's just so goddamn goofy, you know? Yeah. I mean, the way he delivers.
He talks like a big stoner.
Yeah, he really does. And that's not an act. I mean, any interview, that's him.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Cruise, not an act. He's a weird dude. Yeah, so I'm excited about it. I mean, I'm excited about the possibility of making a good one. I also think they might have rushed 2 and 3when it was out. And again, like you said, I think they kind of outkicked their coverage and tried to get too deep.
Yeah.
They tried to get too Inception-y, and it just did not work out. But
Speaking of, I swear on my life, I had a dream within my dream the other night.
Oh, boy.
I was like, and I woke up, and I was like, I Incepted. I was like, how did I have a dream about a dream?
Yeah.
That was just
weird. That's a good one.
I don't know.
You're giving me all kinds of titles for the episode. not gross, Incepted. Those are good ones. What did you bring other than what we just transitioned to by inadvertently because of your watch?
So, Missy's eyes are going to glaze over, but I want to get your thoughts on that Hickman X-Men so far.
So far, so good. Here's the only reason I haven't, and I've enjoyed it, but the only reason it's not been as enjoyable is because I think as of this issue I just read, which is the fourth one in the reading order, was the last one where I read spoilers.
Yeah.
So going forward, there's no spoilers for me.
Yeah.
So it's everything I expected. I told you there's a certain amount of Hickman blueprint and fingerprint, I should so to say, that I sometimes wonder why he does it on everything, but it's always so freaking effective.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it's going whatsoever. It doesn't make any sense to me in a good way.
Yeah.
But, and you're not getting a lot, and this is not an indictment on it, you're not getting a lot of character development, just a lot of story. Like a lot of world building is what you're getting.
Outside of House of X2, you don't get much character building. That's the
Moriah McTaggart. Yeah. She is, and that was awesome.
That just blew my mind.
That is a solid 5 out of 5, her story. So far, I'm like at a 4 on it. And I might have been a 4.5 if I didn't read all those spoilers when it came out.
Yeah.
But like I said, I intentionally stopped reading because I knew there would be a trade or I'd read it at some point. Art's awesome.
Yeah.
And this is not even... Also, I don't want to make this sound negative either. To me, it's not quite yet an X-Men book.
Yeah.
It's a Hickman book. And I've got enough faith in him as a creative mind that eventually it's going to be an X-Men book. Yeah. So I can't wait for that to happen. And I got a feel when that happens, it's going to be a nice, awesome splash page that's going to make me get a warm fuzzy inside.
Yeah. You've got it sitting upstairs.
Okay, good. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I went in. I used to have every issue of the 90s X-Men series.
Claremont and Lee's run.
Yeah. And like, I have every issue of Wolverine.
Yeah.
I stopped reading them a few years ago just when I switched over to the app, the 6-month gap. There was just so much to catch up on. I'm like...
What's the price on the app?
That's $10 a month.
That's not awful.
No, it's not bad.
They should... And this is not... I mean, this is something I think would be easily done in their thing. I think if you get Disney Plus, they should throw that app in there as well.
I'd be so happy if they did that.
They would. Then you would get that ESPN Plus and Hulu Plus. I mean, it would be awesome. So,
I mean, they're going to get my money anyway. So
yeah, just take more of it.
Yeah,
go. Yeah, but that I may end up doing the app at some point. The 6 month delay doesn't bother me.
No, it doesn't bother me either because I've actually gone back and reread stuff I've read when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Infinity Wars. Let's see what's going on with that.
I think the first crossover series that I ever completed, like as a kid, like I knew I had to go out to the store on a certain day to get there to get it, was the Omega Red introduction into Wolverine and how it crossed into X-Men and the Blue Team and stuff like that.
Uncanny and regular X-Men.
Yeah, all so that was the first one because I remember as a kid thinking, well, it's stupid that I have to go get these other...
Yeah.
And then I went ahead and did it anyway, and so I put together the whole little four issues of whatever it was.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I remember completing something like that. By the way, back to the thing we were talking about with the Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
What's the actress in it whose last name is NG?
She was, I don't remember.
Well, so I'm going to bring it up because I wanted to talk about this. So, and the reason I'm talking about it is because you started talking about the X-Men. So her name is, let me get down to her. Mei Ling NG. And I don't know how you pronounce the NG. Yeah. Ning. I don't know. But I wanted to, speaking of X-Men, I'm going to read you her heritage, and you tell me what X-Men it is. She's an English-born actress of Chinese-Singaporean descent from Britain, way of Britain.
Yeah.
That's Psylocke. And the reason I say that is she was captured in that Omega Red story arc, and one of my favorite scenes is Cyclops blasts a hole through the wall and says, we're here for our team member. You might know her. And it says... She's Chinese by way of British samurai something.
Yeah.
You can imagine how hard those would come by. And Beast goes, and our other friend, short, angry Harry. Oh, never mind. I see him. And they blast him. But I was like, that's her. That's that Mei Ling. That she is. She cannot. There cannot be an Olivia Munn Psylocke knowing this woman is born in the world.
Yeah.
She has to go be Psylocke.
Yeah.
She has the credentials by birth. So.
Get on that, Kevin Feige.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to us. If you've done anything, Disney, listen to your fans.
Yes.
Just these two, though. They know what they're talking about.
I don't think there's a comic book fan in the world that would not agree with me on that actress. I mean, she is a layup to be Psylocke. What else did you bring?
So, back to the X-Men.
Oh, though. Yeah.
So, the first time I read the first issue, didn't care for it. It's like...
Of House of X?
Yeah, just because I had these preconceived notions in my head of, well, Professor X should be this way, and...
And you got to know that is something that... Hickman's going to do to you.
Right.
He's not going to give you what you think you're getting in the first issue, ever.
So after four issues, I've gone back and reread everything pretty much every time I pick up a new issue.
Which is smart because there is a lot of words, and it is dense, dense.
And then you go back and you're like, oh, that makes sense why they did that way.
Yeah.
So, if you don't get it individually, pick up the trades, read them in the correct order.
Yeah, the correct
it'll
order.
It'll make a lot more sense than waiting every week to get the next.
Trust me, read them in the correct order, and if you haven't seen it, the order also does not make sense.
No.
it alternates. It goes House of X, Power of X, House of X, Power of X, Power of X, House of X, House of X. I mean, it does. It's like how they've done it is weird, but I think it's gonna make sense cohesively when it's all said and done.
It does,
and it'll be one of those things that I'll go back and reread it as a whole.
Yeah.
I've done that to most of Hickman stuff anyway, because I'll be honest with you, I kind of skim through a lot of his computer files sometimes. Yeah. I just get the keywords.
There's a lot of stuff in those.
Ton of them. Yeah. I know, because I've went back even in it and like, all right, let me read that again. Like the whole thing with the Phalanx, I was like, oh, man, how many times are you going to explain what Phalanx is in the Marvel Universe? But his is different. So. Yeah.
And so when they have the Moria timeline, I have that open.
That is awesome.
I'm rereading some of the issues.
That is awesome.
It lays out everything that happens in her life.
That makes me want to see what his notebooks look like when he's brainstorming ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you... To just think... I mean, this is not a spoiler, but Moria is a mutant with the ability to relive her life every time she dies with the knowledge of that life she lived before. And he has a two-page splash page that is just her timeline of all of her lives... with every significant event. And I gotta tell you, that And I'm 150% certain that every one of those events will tie into the final story, which is asinine to be able to do that in your head.
So two things from that. They update it later on.
Oh, okay.
As the series goes on. And if you look carefully, Life 6 isn't listed there.
Oh, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to double. See, that's the shit you got to do with Hickman. You got to pay attention.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, but you've got to have something non-comic talk because Missy just
okay. Well, checked out.
She fell asleep and woke back up.
It's kind of comics, kind of not. Have your kids ever shown interest in reading any of that?
So yes and no. Kaylin loved The Walking Dead for a while. Mm-hmm. And I tried to get her into Kamala Khan, and she didn't take. Superhero stuff is not, she doesn't like superhero stuff.
Yeah.
She really, really, really liked The Walking Dead. She read the first four omnibuses, I think. Hayden liked it when she was younger, before she learned to read. She liked it when I would read it to her.
Yeah.
But now that, there's no real appeal. I mean, she's very wrapped up in her phone and her TikToks, but more than that, she's very plugged into soccer. And
she'll read when she reads, because it's not that she can't read, she just does not enjoy it.
We fight her. Well, we thought, but now she's tearing through books. She's got to do four book reports a quarter.
She likes the graphic novel type.
Yeah, but not comic books, like funny kid, her age stuff, appealing to her.
So like Dogman.
Not even that, like Guts and Smile.
Those ones.
Yeah, but she read the Alex Morgan biography. Now, it was written with a elementary school kid in mind, but she read that in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is fast for her.
Which is super fast for her. And she's reading a chapter book now called Beneath, and it's like scary for her age.
Yeah.
And she's already like halfway through that book.
Yeah, she told me yesterday that she goes, so we have these scary books at school, and I figure, if I like scary movies, I might like a scary book. So she tried it, and
now
I can't fault her for it.
And this is kind of a similar path that Kaylin has taken. She started not really wanting to read a lot, too. And then once she got around fifth and sixth grade, she started reading. And she'll read a real book a month, sometimes two.
Yeah.
Well, she actually reads 2, 3, sometimes 4 books at once.
Yeah.
Like, she'll alternate, but we probably buy her maybe a dozen books a year.
Yeah. It's slowed down this year because it's her first high school experience and volleyball. And she's, I love my daughter, but both of my daughters put, Hayden, her performance in sports puts a lot of pressure. You've seen it in pitching. Yeah. She puts a lot of pressure on herself. Kaylin puts a lot of pressure on herself to keep her grades up. Because she struggled at times with, like, science and math.
No, it was
ELA. ELA and math. And so she, to her credit, has always worked extra hard to fix it.
Yeah.
But this year, with volleyball, which is practice every day, sometimes 2 to 3 hours.
And she knows that she has to keep a certain grade point average to play.
She really, really, really stresses. But to be honest with you, she is pulling out straight A's right now.
Yeah.
And we don't
apply the same pressure to our kids. It's like, if my kids got a C in a subject, as long as they were trying, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, as long as they're trying their best.
I wouldn't be happy with a C. I definitely wouldn't be happy with a D. But if they were trying but struggling, that's different.
When Kaylin got a D in math, we got her a tutor at school, the tutor program, and she got it up by the end of the year to a B. She's always close strong. But she stresses herself out with, like, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to
do it. I don't have time. Yeah.
And then she always does. And this year might be her best performance grade-wise. And she's more busy than she's ever. And it's only going to get worse as she gets older. When she's a senior, she's not even know what she was thinking.
She's like me. She'll choose all the easy classes.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Hayden, we fight more on homework. But back to what you asked, though, they both have started. I mean, Kaylin big time loves to read. Hayden has started reading more. But I just didn't win when it came. And I thought Hayden, I had her. I mean, she loved the Marvel Lego games, loved them. She loved Lego, Marvel Legos in general. She goes to the movies with me. She does all of it. Just can't translate it into the comic books. What about your kids?
Kaylee took to comic books real quick. I put Runaways in her hand when she was 7, probably.
Oh, yeah.
And she burned through the whole series.
Well, that's awesome. Did she read all the Brian K. Vaughan ones then?
Yeah.
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 Did you ever read the Joss Whedon one?
I started to. I didn't care for it and yeah, ended either. Up dropping it.
Yeah, that's the same way with me. But
yeah. So she's always grabbing something. Like I gave her I Kill Giants.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good one.
Yeah.
That's a very good one. So, I didn't see the movie. Yeah.
Movie was okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We had to turn the movie off because it was scaring Madeline and Will.
It's a it's a very good book about a girl that is dealing with abuse instead of...
Well, it was her mom's cancer.
Her mom's cancer, that's right. Oh. Yeah, not abuse. Yeah, not abuse, cancer, yeah.
She imagined that she would kill giants because that was something she could actually fight.
Yeah. She was a role-playing game fan. Yeah. But very, very, very good book. I have not seen the movie, and the book was like 3 issues long, and it was... Yeah. You didn't really know what it was until the final book, mm-hmm. and it was very awesome. Yeah,
you got little hints of it, and then all of a sudden, like it hit you.
And then it makes all the whole books make sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, a lot like that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I've never read or seen it. So
I saw something last night. I think it was there's a new. I haven't watched it. I don't even know the name, but I watched a trailer for. I put it on my watch list on Netflix. It's a new in the third season, but it's some gay comedian/actor that is taking his dad around the United States. They're British, to win him over in the United States. So like show him cool, great things in the United States, and there's some funny things about it because he's clearly flamboyant, and his dad is sometimes like they go to this wall where it was this famous spot I think in Texas where you're supposed to write what you're thankful for, and his dad writes Brexit on the wall.
Oh,
and so there's some. I feel like that's manufactured.
Yeah.
But there's a funny part on it where they're calling out numbers at a bingo hall, and he looks out and he goes, "Oh, this is what they should have made those 50 Shades of Grey books about." And it's all the gray hair. Anyway, Madeline, does she?
So she wouldn't for a long time. She loves Supergirl, Flash, and then.
She loves the CW shows.
Yeah, the shows.
You've said that before, yeah.
And then we took her to see Infinity War. She didn't care about the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
We kind of had to force her into them. She was crying by the end of Infinity
War. Oh, man, I cried in Infinity War. Yeah. I mean, I was teared up. Yeah.
And so at that point, I was
like... She hadn't even had... Her only connection to these characters was just in that movie. Yeah.
So I gave her Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, that's a good one.
And she's just about done with the first volume.
That's a good one.
She's burned through it in about 6 months.
I have, and it's of all the great disappointments, I think, in the world. I've got, you can see on the top right, there's the first volume of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But there's another one I have somewhere. I may have let someone borrow it. But there's another one, Barnes and... You see it?
Yeah, I see it.
The bigger one? Oh, no. There's a... before there was a such thing as Marvel Omnibuses, and before there were Absolute Editions, there was a Barnes & Noble edition of Ultimate Spider-Man, and it was the first two hardcovers in one bound giant hardcover.
Oh, wow.
And they had the advertisement and when the other ones were coming out, but at Barnes & Noble wasn't known as the big trade paperback place yet, and they never released them. Oh. And I so badly want to do them to do that. Also, the other disappointment I have is I've got the first... the properly translated Akira's. That first one is also a Barnes & Noble edition hardcover of it, and they didn't finish making those either.
Oh.
I know. So, but that's why I kept the trade paperbacks too. Yeah. So, but yeah, that double-sized one was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So,
that drives the completest in me wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
but no, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's not for, I mean, obviously you've seen my basement. It's not for lack of putting them in that. It's not. It's definitely a the environment did not affect the kid in mine. I don't know why they didn't get into it, but you know, like Missy said, we are very, very good at. I feel like the strongest thing we have as a parent is not pushing our kids one way or the other, but encouraging them when they do buy in something. Now, I'm pretty pushy when it comes to sports with them through the years.
Yeah.
I mean, I made our third baseman cry Tuesday this past Thursday night for Pete's sake, but. Yeah, I mean, I wish they would read comics for the simple fact that I want someone to talk to them about.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I have you and Bender and my best friend Dwayne and even my buddy Hal Pow to an extent on some. But, you know, there's some days I want to read something and turn it over and say, "Ooh, Hayden, check this one out. You'll love it." Never going to happen.
I tried that with the Hickman books.
Oh, those are
and
deep.
And I'm like, that's
a lot
so
of exposition
way over,
in there.
Way over your guys' head, though.
Oh. What else you have? Did you bring anything else?
No, that's it.
So I think at this point we should just go ahead and throw it to Missy and see what she's got.
I got nothing.
Oh. I do surprise. Have something.
That, I know, it's a shocker.
I do have something, and I said we were going to put a pin in it. Sadly, it's been mentioned here and there on an accident, but last week, Dan Harmon officially announced that beginning December will be the last Harmontown episode. After 8 years, he's bringing the show to a close. And I got to tell you, Missy's right. I will find a show that I like, but there's not a podcast made that I've listened to every single episode of it. And I listen.
Not even Rogan.
Not even Rogan. I skip some of them. I like his, I hate to admit it, but I skipped his Maynard James Keenan one, his last one, because I've heard him on there before.
Is he boring?
It's not.
He seems boring.
Yeah, he's not overly exciting.
He's very dry.
Yeah, and he talks about wine, and he talks about his jiu-jitsu, and I know this new, I didn't listen to this new one.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling he's going to talk about the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of that.
Yeah, and so I skip his, but Harmon, so I came on board with Harmon around episode 12 or 13, and the reason I did is because NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, they brought it up, and they mentioned that he deals with his relationship with his father and mother through playing D&D, and he did that very much in the early episodes.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm going to check it out. And then I realized that, hey, this is a guy that created Community, and this was pre-Rick and Morty, and I've been with him ever since. We bought the movie on Google Play before it was on Netflix, his documentary. And so I've been on 100%, and it's been my favorite podcast, and it's not even close. And like Missy said, I'm going to have to find a way to get all my Harmon feel. And I don't know what that's going to be. But
I said on Instagram, follow his half-naked workouts.
but one of the things I've loved about him is he's very accessible to his fans. Every shows he's ever done, he pulls people up.
Yep.
He's at the same bars all the time. Through Harmontown, he's very open, talks about the stuff that he talks about with his therapist on the show.
Yeah.
And so you get a real sense of who he is. And, you know, when you take that away, it's almost, and I'm being very extreme here, being very big softy, but it's almost like you're losing a friend.
Yeah.
With eight straight years, every week, I've had this podcast, and it's gone. It's going to be gone.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is why you don't listen to Rogan as much. Rogan puts out almost
three
one
a week.
Daily.
Yeah,
yeah,
3 weeks.
Multiple
times. And they're like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I do listen.
So Harmon only puts out one a week. That's
one a week, and it's 2 to 3 hours depending on the week.
Yeah,
depending on how drunk he gets.
Oh yeah, and he gets drunk, bad drunk, and that's the other good thing about the show. For those, I mean, I'm not suggesting you go back and listen to all of them, but he's done some things on the show, and he's done some things in his life that he has absolutely needed to be held accountable for, and that son of a bitch steps up and becomes accountable for it.
Yeah.
He apologizes in a believable, contrite way that doesn't make it right, and it definitely doesn't forgive him, but you can at least, I mean, forgive what he's done, like when it come to harassing one of his employees because he had a crush on her, or, you know, his divorce with Aaron McGaffey. Mm-hmm. He owns up to why he was a bad husband with her, and he makes no. He doesn't sugarcoat his life whatsoever.
So the issues that he had in his first marriage, is he going to continue that into when he gets married second time?
He could. He quite possibly could. And he tells you all the time that's why he didn't propose to her, because he said he did.
I thought they were engaged.
He did. They are. She proposed to him, but he said he was so bad at marriage the first time, he wasn't going to make that mistake on his terms again.
I gotta know how he gets younger, prettier girls.
He's stupid rich.
Yeah, but he's so yucky looking.
Yeah, he is. But he's undeniably smart and very funny and stupid rich, and that goes a long way.
Yeah,
I'm not. No, I guess I'm just. I couldn't climb on top of a guy that I didn't find attractive.
It's different out in California than it is here.
True.
Yeah,
it's a little more laid back, I guess.
And his Aaron McGaffey was absolutely a very pretty girl, but his girlfriend now is. Amazingly, I think she's even prettier. I mean, she's not model hot, but she's an actress. She actually has a TV show coming on, like, it's not Bravo, but it's like IFC, I think, or something. And it's about Dan Harmon. It's about dating Dan Harmon. I mean, her life. Because she's also, so she's
missing. It's a reality show?
No, no. It's a fake show So there'll be actors playing, and in fact, I'll look up who's playing him. I forget who played him, but it's a good casting. But she also grew up in Hollywood. Her mom is Mama Russo from Karate Kid, his fiance.
Yeah.
So it's and she's written a lot. I'll have to look her up, and Cody's her name. And I'll have to look her up. When we're off air, so you'll know, you'll recognize. Oh, she's done a lot of this. She's talented as well.
Yeah.
But again, it's not just Dan too. It's you've learned about Spencer Crittenden. He literally plucked him out of the stage.
Yeah.
He was the first to raise his hand and said, I'll DM your game.
Yeah.
And then he went and became his personal assistant. And now he produces, writes, and directs Harmon Quest, which is very popular.
Mm-hmm.
He's done other shows. And, you know, Jeff B. Davis, who not the creator of whatever shows there's on the CW, but the improv guy, he's always been there. Even Kumail Nanjiani can credit a lot of Harmontown to his early success because he was on every single week in the early shows.
Yeah.
And Dan even uses it a joke now. He's like, yeah, so we're going to get some big guests. He's like, don't worry, I'll bring your precious fucking Kumail back. So I'm gonna miss it. And I guess it'll officially kill the Harmon rule, so I won't be bringing up Dan Harmon after December.
I feel like you'll find a way.
Yeah, I'll work him in there.
Yeah.
So
I love shows on and stuff.
Yeah, so anything else, anything quick worth noting for you?
So what else do you listen to, just out of curiosity?
I listen to Rogan, for the most part, most of his episodes. I'd say in a given two-month span, there's one I'll skip.
Yeah.
I listen to Rogan, I listen to Harmon, I have to listen to mine. I listen to
listening to it as it happens.
Yeah, but I also go back to make sure it's right and there's not a big mistake or something.
See, I listen when I edit and then download it and then delete it.
Yeah, that's a good call too. I also listen to Matt Basler. I listen to his podcast, both of his.
I like his new shtick.
Network marketing, his pyramid scheme.
But he's on this mission to have people take pictures of him instead of taking so many selfies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And is it TikTok that he's on?
Yeah.
And it's the same exact song. Like, say he has 80 TikToks. It's 80 TikToks of the exact same song, but him doing different stuff in it. And it's
smooth.
Yeah, no,
that'd
smooth.
Be hilarious.
But Riverfront Time voted the best concert events of the year, and they nominated that one, and he was very happy about that.
I didn't go, but I voted for it.
Yeah, I voted for it as well, and I wanted to win. Yeah. So I also still listen to Zane's World, which is Zane Lamprey. ID10T sometimes.
Yeah, depending on the guest.
Yeah, depending on the guest. Obviously Shane and this, I don't know how to pronounce this, because it uses a Y, Nyard cast? Nyard. I listen to them.
Yeah.
Listen to, anything but credible. I listen to those guys still. I still listen. The only UFC one, and again, it's not all the time. I listen to UFC Unfiltered with Matt Serra and Jim Norton. But Acquisitions Incorporated. That's the Penny Arcade guys that play D&D.
Yeah.
I do the D&D podcast itself. I'll listen to about one every 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Fighter and the Kid, I've been listening to that. It's Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub.
Yeah.
Two Bears, One Cave, I really like that. That's Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer.
Jeremy ever gets an office job again, there's no way he'd even be able to listen to half of what he's already mentioned.
I'm on the road quite a bit. So.
I have an office job, and I listen all the time to stuff.
Well, yeah, when I had that, too, I still did. I put them in my earbuds in and went to town. You used to do that. You can't do it now.
No, I would listen to my podcast when I walked.
Oh, yeah, that's
I'm on a lot of conference calls now.
All day.
I'm transitioning to a different role, so I don't have time.
So I
don't even have time to watch TV when I work from home.
And that's
the
one.
Worst.
Yeah. And that's the ones I subscribe to.
Yeah.
I'll get a whiff of something and I'll download the single episode and see if I like it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do, and I'll, you know, but in those chain, I mean, that's probably, that list is 100%. Like, I used to listen to Pop Culture Happy Hour religiously.
Yeah.
And then their shtick got very boring and tiresome to me.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I dropped that one.
But what do you
do a lot of Kevin Smith. I think I get just about everything he does.
See, and I love Kevin Smith. And
how long are his podcasts? Because he's a talker.
Especially his main one, the Smodcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's my least favorite, though.
No doubt, man. I love Kevin Smith. But, like, for instance, we were listening to the Black Parade, Welcome to the Black Parade, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He once did 3 episodes on that song, and broke it down, breaking it down. And then he had Gerard Way on the episode.
Yeah.
And I love Kevin Smith, but it's too much. And then there was a good four weeks where he found his old recordings that he would do as a kid.
Yeah.
That's boring as hell to me. I still do enjoy him and Jason Mewes, the one where they're
Jane Silent Bob Get Old.
Yeah, that's a good one.
They don't do that much anymore, though.
I love Fat Man on Batman and Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah, I listen to those two.
Those are my favorite. Yeah. And they're good because even Kevin Smith would probably be the first to agree with this. Is he also needs someone to help rein him in and bounce off ideas with. And that's why I love those.
Yeah. Let's see. I have the Something Something cast, some buddies of mine that I used to write with years and years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of pop culture stuff.
Something Something is the name of it?
Yeah, Something cast.
And they from here?
No, they're from New Jersey.
All right. Well, shout out to Something Something cast. I'll even link them that you talked about them. So.
I do a lot of baseball ones. StatCast. FanGraphs.
Sports, I read a bunch of sports, like from The Athletic and stuff, and I don't know why I don't dive into sports podcasts as much.
I mean, these are nerdy, in-depth.
Oh, yeah, sabermetrics.
But, yeah, so big onto those. The Beerist.
Oh, yeah. I looked at that one. I used to listen to The Brews Room from our friends,
yes,
Calden and all those guys, and I don't know why I can't get into craft beer podcasts either.
I have that one. I have Beersmith.
Beersmith, I have the app.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to listen to. It's very dry, but it gives you good hints.
I have listened to that.
Yeah.
Back when I first started listening to podcasts, because that one's been around a while.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Comic Book Nation from comicbook.com. That's a new one.
Oh, I need to check that out. I haven't listened to that one.
They do 2-3 times a week, and it's pretty good.
Sci-Fi Wire and Sci-Fi Channel used to have one, and it was okay. Comic Book Men had a good one. They had a spinoff. It was Ming Chen and...
What's his name? I know who you're talking about.
What was the one that never talked on the show? Mike Zapchik or something. I can't remember. But they had a weekly pull list comic book, and it was good.
Yeah, I listened to that for a while.
I did too.
My friend Marcus has Deadpan Fury. He doesn't do a whole lot anymore.
He's a Metro guy?
No.
Oh, so he's also...
No, he's in California.
Okay.
So when I started writing on the internet 15 years ago...
You were a fan fiction guy?
No. No, it was all baseball and comic books.
Okay. So an editorial.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I met these guys through the website. James from the Something Something cast was a wrestling writer.
Okay.
And Marcus from Deadpan Fury was on the forums. And there was a very close-knit group of people on the forums, and we're friends on Facebook, and we've talked ever since.
Well, that's cool.
So, yeah, Marcus has been on our show. We've been on his show before.
Skyped in?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll be darned.
So, yeah, that's... I got a lot of other just random stuff.
And I download a bunch and then don't...
Yeah.
Listen to a bunch.
Or I've subscribed to a lot, and just based on the topics, I'll listen to them.
Yeah.
So.
I get that. Well, we've shot out a lot of podcasts on here. What were you about? Do you got something?
Nope.
All right. Well, I guess that means we're done.
I guess so.
I mean, we just barely went over an hour. We've been going an hour and a half pretty regularly, but yeah, I think we got two kids upstairs. And
I do have something to add. The little bit of beer that.
At the bottom
Hellboy,
of your Abe Sapien, yeah?
Yeah, it's almost the same color as like Listerine.
I'll be darned.
Like, it's green. It's weird. So weird that it's green.
Not going to get you out of a ticket, though, if you try to use that to cover the
Drinking
beer.
Drinking Listerine, officer.
But promise, look at it. It's Listerine. Well, there is no Bender and no Tom. So, Jay, you can sign off, and then Missy can close it.
All right. I'll be back.
All right. Yeah, you definitely will. You definitely will.
Bye.
All right. We're playing the music. What was the, there was something I was talking about. What was it I was talking about on the,